Hello and welcome to the May edition of the Talking Points podcast from Clutch Football. This month we're going with a buy one, sell one structure. So we'll be going through each Premier League club from this season, saying one player they should get rid of and one player they should look to bring in the upcoming transfer window. So plenty of stuff to get through in this episode. We'll dive in very shortly. But first, I'll introduce my co-host slash guest on this episode, which is Fabio Duarte, as usual. Fabio, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, so like I say, 20 teams to power through, so we'll crack straight on. Alphabetical order work for you?
Yep.
Okay, great. So we'll kick off with Arsenal. Why don't you kick us off?
Sure. So I've gone with their top goal scorer, Lacazette. He's turning 30 this month, and he will have 1 year left on his contract at the end of the season. Sellable asset. He is definitely a good striker, but I think Arsenal could look to sell him and reinvest in a more long-term option.
Wow, okay. Brave shout. I think there's probably more obvious options out there, but I can see what you say. And yeah, it's one of those where maybe you're looking to preserve a bit of his value. The only thing I would say is that Aubameyang is in a similar-ish situation. Well, putting the contract to one side anyway, it's that kind of aging striker whose returns aren't what they once were. So I don't know, if you sell Lacazette, does that leave you with enough options? But maybe once you tell us who you're buying, it'll all be okay. But we'll come to that shortly. I've also gone quite controversial with Arsenal. I said they should sell Leno. For me, any team with aspirations to the big time needs a reliable keeper to build from. I don't hate Leno, he's decent, but I don't think he's that level. He has some clangers in him. I should say now that this would probably require buying someone else in too, especially if the backup Matt Ryan is only on loan at the moment. But yeah, particularly if they could make Matt Ryan permanent, I think I'd slightly prefer that as a long-term option than Leno.
Yeah, like you said, I think there's others who need to go before Leno, but I wouldn't mind if Arsenal sold him. Until recently, I rated him pretty highly. I mean, I still do, but you're right, he does have some clangers in him. And if Arsenal want to push up to that level they think it should be at, then selling Leno would make sense.
And who have you said they should bring in?
Not a replacement for Lacazette. Obviously, they should if they sell him. But I've gone with Ødegaard. I think when you've got a lone player who performs well and the selling team, Real Madrid in this case, don't have any plans for him, I think it makes sense for all parties involved. Yeah, he fills a gap in the team. He's adapted well. He's got a lot of potential. And his price shouldn't be too restrictive.
Okay, great. We can move on quickly then, because that was also my pick. I don't think that'll happen very often. But yeah, like you say, when he's had a pretty impressive loan spell, it's one of the obvious picks. Yeah, equally, if they did sell Leno, then I'd be suggesting they should be looking at bringing in a high-level keeper as well. But, you know, it's not strict rules. So, yeah. Okay, don't mind those picks at all. Moving on to Aston Villa. So it seems like you're going sell, then buy in your order. I've got them all written down as buy, then sell. So I'm going to start with who they should buy. But feel free to carry on however you like. But I've said they should bring in Harry Wilson. So in case anyone's lost track of what he's doing at the moment, he's still technically a Liverpool player, but he spent the season on loan at Cardiff, where he's been quite impressive. Scored an excellent hat-trick last week. I think Villa need another creative hook capable of that kind of moment of magic, whether that's for when Grealish isn't available or if Grealish leaves in the summer. Either way, I think someone needs to kind of share that burden, and I think Wilson would offer that without necessarily breaking the bank too much.
Yeah, I like that pick. I've gone for a similar sort of player. Mine would definitely cost a lot more, especially given that he's coming back up to the Premier League. I've gone for Emiliano Buendia. Mm. I think Aston Villa are a step up ahead of Norwich, so the move makes sense on his part. Norwich are going to be unlikely to want to sell for less than 40 million, I'd say. So he's not going to come cheap, but he would come straight into the starting lineup, and he would definitely share some of that responsibility that Grealish has.
Yeah, I mean, if they could pull that off, it would be a great signing. He's had a phenomenal season in the Championship. He didn't look at all out of his depth in the Premier League when he was up there with Norwich. So, yeah, I mean, I like that pick as well. But as you say, it's logistically going to be harder than someone like Harry Wilson, I would imagine. Moving on to sell, I've said it's time for Villa to part ways with Ahmed Al-Mohammadi. Not necessarily the most controversial of my picks, but, you know, he's an absolute stalwart. But Matty Cash is very much first choice at right back now. Earnings are reportedly as high as 45k a week, which could probably be better invested elsewhere. He's just a little bit surplus to requirements, I would say, at this stage in his career.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't know how old he is, but I would have guessed mid-30s by now. He's not first choice, and if his wages are as high as we're saying, then it makes sense to cut him. I've not got the most interesting one for Villa either. I've gone for Keenan Davis. He turns 24. He's just not really up to the level that Villa need, even in a backup striker. They would need to reinvest in a backup striker because I don't know if Wesley will stick around. But yeah, Keenan Davis for me.
Yep, fair enough. Like you say, there's not too much to get my teeth stuck into there, just a relatively standard pick. So we'll move on to Brighton. Who do you have them, well, buying or selling, whichever one you want to kick us off with?
I'll start with selling. I wish I'd picked someone else because I'm going to struggle to pronounce his name, but it's Jahanbash. Is that all right?
Yeah. It sounds good to me. Shockingly, I'm not an Iranian pronunciation expert. But.
Yeah, well, anyway, him, he's had two Premier League starts. He's never really settled in at Brighton. He scored that bicycle kick against Chelsea, which I wish he hadn't. But other than that, it's not really done anything of note. And I think they could get a bit of money back on him.
Yeah, that's probably a good pick, actually. I didn't even think of him. But yeah, I thought he'd do well when he came in. He came highly rated, had some good highlights on the reel. Obviously, I hadn't been watching him regularly before his move. But yeah, certain people who I normally sort of respect the opinions of thought he would do a job. But yeah, he's not really been spectacular. And like you say, he's probably still got some resale value. I went with Adam Lallana. It just turned out to be an awful piece of business, didn't it? He's never fit. He doesn't make a huge impact when he can play, and he's sapping the wage bill. So I think cut your losses there.
Yeah, I suspect he would be difficult to move on because of the wages. I don't know what his contract situation's like. It can't be too long term, I wouldn't have thought. So it might be difficult to find a suitor, maybe a loan move.
Yeah, that's true. Logistically, it could be a struggle, but yeah, it's just if it's possible for them to call it a day on that one, then that would seem to be the sensible move. I said they should buy Gerard Moreno. I've stuck within England for a lot of my picks just because it's the league I know best, but I went a little bit rogue on this one. I've no idea how practical it would be. Villarreal, obviously now Europa League finalists, and would probably be in a strong position to demand quite a lot for this guy who is La Liga's third top scorer at the moment. Particularly if they got Champions League, it might be a case of this is just a non-starter. But it is one of them where you do see sort of middling Premier League teams managing to lure higher up talent from a lot of the foreign leagues, just in terms of the financial disparities at play. So I don't think it's completely impossible. And I think it's clear that what Brighton are really missing at the moment is a sort of strong goal scorer in his prime. So if they could pull something like that off, I'd be a big fan of it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with a top class striker as Brighton's priority. I can't comment too much on Moreno, but when you're playing for a Europa League finalist, it makes sense for Brighton to go for someone of his calibre. I haven't picked a striker. Can't remember why, but I've gone with Andre Frank Zambo Anguissa. Mouthful. If Bissouma leaves, which I think is fairly likely. So if he leaves, Brighton are going to have a decent amount to play with. Anguissa's going down probably with Fulham. Last time he went down, they let him leave on loan. So I think they'll be able to get him for a decent fee if they went for him.
Yeah, coincidental link there, of course, because when he was left to go on loan, he actually went to Villarreal, I believe. but yeah, he's a very good player, rate him a lot, and could see that being a good move if Bissouma were to leave. Slightly different profile of players, but not vastly different. And yeah, if anything, Anguissa probably poses that little bit more of a creative threat, which would not necessarily be a bad thing for them. So yeah, I wouldn't mind that at all. And like you say, with the relegated teams, there's often some business to be done. Less so last season, weirdly. It felt like the teams that went down were able to hold on to their best assets for the most part. But yeah, we'll see if there's a bit of a reversion to type there. Yeah, anyway, let's go to Burnley. So I'm stubbornly going to stick to my buy picks first. So I've said they should bring in Jerdan Shaqiri. He's going to want more game time than he's getting. he could be the hero player at Burnley, you know, much like he was at Stoke, really. And Burnley are in dire need of some more creativity. And that kind of, he's also Shaqiri's that kind of moments player, and that's going to be vital when the setup is inevitably going to be quite defence orientated, particularly if Dyche is still there.
Yeah, that makes sense for Burnley and for Shaqiri. I do have Shaqiri in my list at some stage, not yet though. I've gone with George Baldock, again another relegated player. I think he would make sense because Burnley have two right backs, I think it is. One of them's 30, forgotten what his name is now. And then the other one's Phil Bardsley, who is the player I would let go. I think he's 36 and his contract's expiring at the end of the season. Yeah, they could do with a better right back, basically. So I think Baldock at cut price would be a good investment.
Yeah, that makes sense. To be honest, when you said Baldock, I had a moment of thinking, hang on a minute, doesn't he play for Burnley? He just feels like a Burnley player. So yeah, that seems like a good pick.
Loughton, yeah, Matt Loughton.
Sorry. Well done. Yeah, we got there in the end. For sell, for me, I went with Jay Rodriguez. It was one of them. It's kind of a romantic re-signing, but it's not one that's gone amazingly well. They never really seem to, do they? And you'd have to say Wood, Barnes, and probably on the form of this season, Vidra are all better options. So, yeah, probably Rodriguez for me.
Yeah, makes sense. I was scratching around to find players that Burnley could let go of because they've got such a paper-thin squad. But, yeah, he's probably fourth choice from the strikers. I mean, there's no need to let him go, but if any team was interested, there would be no need to keep him either.
Who have you gone for?
Oh, sorry. I've gone with Bardsley. End of contract. Ends of end of the season, so just let it run out and don't re-sign him. Pretty boring.
Yeah, okay. That's if that's not the most dull pick on the list, then no one should listen to this.
Cause yeah, bloody hell, that's dull.
Okay, but yeah, fair enough. Let's move on to Chelsea, your team, so hopefully might have a bit more of an interest here. Who are you getting into the club?
Okay, this one's a lot more interesting. I've gone with Erling Haaland. Yeah, Chelsea kind of need a striker. Timo Werner doesn't appear to be a striker. Giroud might not be at the club next year as good as he is. He's definitely getting on. And Abraham is out of favour and he's probably not the striker that Chelsea need. And Haaland's world class and we're in need of a clinical striker. I don't think players like Haaland come around too often, especially not available. He would cost a lot, obviously, but I think he would be a good investment.
Cool, that beats Phil Bardsley, doesn't it? Yeah. It's more like it. But yeah, I also went for Erling Haaland. Obviously, there's a lot of teams which he could improve, so it was tricky to pick one to say that he should go to. But yeah, I agree with everything you've said. He's that kind of profile where he really would bring Chelsea on to the next level, provided he could carry his form across. And with that in mind, I put down Timo Werner for sell. It's tricky because I do still kind of rate him and I honestly think if Chelsea persisted further, he may well come good. But if Haaland comes in, that's kind of the nail in the coffin for him and he does still hold some resale value, probably quite a lot of resale value. And yeah, Haaland would surely be an upgrade. So I've said sell Werner.
I can see why you've gone for it, but I don't quite agree. Personally, I don't view Werner as a central striker, at least not anymore. He's been playing quite well off of Havertz recently as a sort of inside forward. And I think that could be something that he could do with Haaland, should he join. So yeah, I wouldn't sell Werner, but I have gone for another striker. I've gone with Tammy Abraham. As much as it hurts, because I do want to see him succeed at Chelsea, I don't think he's going to quite reach that level, not now at least. He's got a lot of value. I think Chelsea asking for 40 million, and I could see teams getting at least close to that. Right now, he's not clinical enough, and he's not going to get the game time that he needs to develop. The longer he stays at Chelsea, the lower his value is going to go with the lack of game time. So I think now is the time to sell, probably.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get 40 million for him, then sell him straight away. Is good, but he's not a £40 million player. But yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to disagree because if I'm saying Werner's probably going to be surplus to requirements, then obviously the same is going to apply to Abraham. So yeah, I don't disagree. I'd be shocked if you could get that much for him, but Chelsea are renowned for good business, high sales values. So yeah, could be one of them where it's time to cash in. And yeah, like you say, he's not a bad player. He could do a job for someone. I saw some people saying maybe Liverpool could be having a look at him, which I wouldn't hate as long as he wasn't coming in as a starter. But yeah, anywhere near 40 million, I'd want Liverpool to be bowing out. But if there was any kind of cut price deal, might be an interesting one. But anyway, we'll move on. I haven't got him down as Liverpool's buy option. You'll be shocked to hear, but we'll get to that later on. First up, we have Crystal Palace. I've gone outside of the Premier League again here for who they should buy. I've gone with Pershers, who's, I'm not going to pretend to be some kind of expert on him, but he's a promising young centre-back at Ajax. Palace have shopped in that market before when they went and got Jairo Riedwald. I think they'd do well to do so again. For such a defence-minded team, the defence actually isn't very good. And he'd also offer some much-needed youth. There's a very old back line at the moment. So yeah, and also a more kind of ball-playing option should a more progressive coach come in. There's been rumours that maybe Palace are finally done with Hodgson. I don't know whether that'll come to fruition, but either way, it's nice to put those long-term building blocks in place for when potentially a better or at least more positive manager comes in. So yeah, would be a little bit of a punt. And it took someone like Riedewald quite a while to come good as well. But I do think long-term, it would be a good signing.
Yeah, I agree with you with investment in youth at Palace. They have a very old squad. Their defence in particular, I think we've got four centre-backs who are 30 or older out of the five they have. Yeah, so another young centre-back would definitely make sense. I'm not going to pretend I know anything about the guy you mentioned. But Ajax is always a good sign. So, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, I only even know like a base amount because he was linked with Liverpool. So I did a bit of research earlier in the season. But yeah, anyway, who have you gone for?
Having praised you for going for a young player, I've got down Arnautovic. yeah, I would get him on a short-term contract. Obviously, the Chinese Super League's, that's falling apart. And Arnautovic is going to want to get out pretty soon. He was good at Stoke. He was very good at West Ham right before he left. And I think he could still do a job for Palace, especially up front where they struggle at times. They don't really have a reliable striker unless you count Zaha. So I think Arnautovic would make sense.
Yeah, it's not a terrible idea. Like you say, I'm not a huge fan of the profile in the terms of just buying another old player. But you're right, I think he could at least short-term fix a problem area. And I think it's a good idea to have looked to the Chinese Super League as well with the situation there in terms of big restrictions on foreign players and wages. There's going to be some bargains to be snapped up there. So, yeah, sensible thinking. Not necessarily a pairing of club and player I'd have picked out, but it wouldn't be the worst signing they could make. I've actually gone in the striker position for Sell as well. I've said Christian Benteke, it's time to go. I could have picked any number of players here, really, but Benteke has been a long way from prolific for a long time. And also, like, maybe they could still get the best out of him, but doing so would be, like, detrimental to the team as a whole, because basically you'd have to be asking Zaha and Eze to just ping in crosses all game, and they're both better players than that. So, yeah, I think it's probably time to call it a day on Christian Benteke at Palace.
Yeah, I agree, because I've picked him. I think he's done enough this season to maybe up his value a little bit, get some people interested. Obviously, he's on very high wages as well, and saving on that wages would allow them to invest on a short-term deal for Arnautovic.
There you go. It's all falling into place. Let's move on to Everton. People aren't going to like this. let's start with Sell here, because it's the fun one. I've said Sell Jordan Pickford. And I'm not going to budge from it. He's not very good. I honestly think if they had a better goalkeeper in this season, they'd probably have made top four. That's not to say a better goalkeeper makes them a Champions League standard club, but just with other clubs underperforming this season, there was a window where they could have sneaked in there. And I think Pickford is one of the reasons they haven't. He has a lot of clangers in him. He doesn't distribute very well. Literally all he does is make some really good saves occasionally, and even they're too rare to make up for his shortcomings. I don't know how he's England's number one. He shouldn't really be Everton's number one. I think he should go.
Okay, well, a lot to get in there. I also don't rate Pickford particularly highly. I don't think I hate him quite as much as you. I'd say that his second half of the season has been a big improvement on the first. There definitely haven't been as many clangers. Yeah, Everton could definitely lose him and go for someone else. I'm not sure who would...
Well, wait for my next pick. Okay.
Right, I'll leave that one there then. Yeah, replacing Pickford with a better keeper, that does make sense, and I wouldn't be surprised to see Ancelotti do it. I've gone with Bernard because I don't think he's good enough for Everton. He's got 1 year remaining on his contract at the end of the season, and... Well, it was between him and Iwobi, but I think Bernard would be easier to shift given he's got a year left and Iwobi came for a very high fee not too long ago.
Yeah, I feel like you could probably shift Iwobi without too much trouble. But yeah, I mean, either of them could go. They're both pretty surplus. Yeah, 1 year left and hasn't done much recently. He might not go for astronomical fees, but I imagine his wages are relatively high. So... might be one of them where it's worth shifting him. And yeah, so now to finish off the Pickford arc, my bye pick for Everton is Alphonse Areola. I think whoever picks him up when Fulham go down is going to be getting a brilliant keeper. He was at PSG for a reason. For most of this season, he's been outperforming the expected goals against by more than any other keeper in the league. It's hard to overstate how much of an upgrade I think that would be.
Yeah, I'd have to agree there. It's a good pick. Areola is still very young as well. His parent club's PSG, right? Was it Real Madrid?
I thought he'd signed on a permanent, but I could be wrong. I probably am wrong. He was at PSG before, but maybe that was a loan. I'll look it up. Alphonse Areola. Yeah, he's on loan from PSG. Okay, but I mean, you would have to imagine he's for sale once the loan finishes.
That was a point I was about to make. PSG would probably be happy to let him go. Although Navas is quite old, so you never know. But yeah, he would be an upgrade on Pickford. He's got a lot of potential and he's been great this season, so I think he's a good pick. I've gone with Everton Ribeiro.
Oh, come on.
He was linked to Everton heavily before signing for Benfica. He's had 16 caps for Brazil. He'd be a direct replacement for Bernard. Should be affordable, given that he's at Benfica, not a super club. The Portuguese clubs often don't demand too much money for their best assets. I can't claim to have seen him play, but he's got a 7.11 on Who Scored for this season. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, just to be honest, you picked him because he's called Everton and it would be cool, which I respect. Yeah, I respect that a lot.
About 50% of that is because of that.
Yeah, well, to be fair, there was a discussion in our flat this week about if Barnsley come up, they should sign Ashley Barnes and someone called Lee just to make a strike partnership that would be cool. So I can't complain too much. Fred will be happy I've mentioned that. But we'll move on swiftly, I think is probably a good idea. We'll go to Fulham. I've taken the simple option here with the buy, just gone with a loan, which has gone well, and said Loftus-Cheek. He's not necessarily been outstanding this season, but he's definitely too good for the Championship and still with a lot of potential. So if they could get him in on a permanent, it would be a coup. I think he'd be a cut above most of the teams they play. And I could see Chelsea selling, to be honest. It seems a long shot for him to work his way in now. And the midfield there is very strong at the moment. Lots of competition. So yeah, if the fee was right, I could see Chelsea letting him go.
Yeah, I'm a big Loftus-Cheek fan and I really wanted to see him make it at Chelsea. But I think his last big injury before he left on loan has probably killed his Chelsea career. So I do think he's up for sale. And if Fulham could get him, he would be great in the Championship. I've gone for a similar sort of theme to you. I've gone for Ademola Lookman, who has also been very good on loan. Leipzig apparently want 15 mil, which I think is a good investment. He's only 23, and he's been one of the few bright sparks in this team, so I think he'd also tear up the Championship.
Yeah, definitely another one you could really see being just a bit of a cheat code in the championship. So yeah, I like that pick. Again, I'm not 100% sure how feasible it would be, but it's worth a go. Sell. Okay, this might almost rival Phil Bardsley. I went with Michael Hector. Who knew he was at Fulham? He must have played about an hour of football since Chelsea just randomly bought him off Reading. Yeah, I was tempted to say Mitrovic, which would have been more interesting. I thought he was going to be a lot more influential this season, but back in the Championship, I think he could be useful again. So I just went with Michael Hector.
Yeah, if Fulham had stayed up, I'd be looking to offload Mitrovic. But in the Championship, you've got to keep last season's top goal scorer. Yeah, I think Hector was first choice at Fulham for maybe three or four games at the start of the season and was woeful. So makes sense. I've gone with probably worse than Bardsley. I've gone with no one.
Oh.
They could be potentially losing a lot of loans. Their squad is reliant on loans, and it's a good Championship squad, so I don't think they can really afford to sell too many of their players.
Sell no one. That's appalling behaviour. I mean, I see the logic. It's probably realistic, but wow, what a way to... what's a polite way of putting it? To ruin our format, but never mind. We'll crack on. Who are you buying for Leeds, if anyone?
For Leeds, I am buying Maitland-Niles. Arsenal don't appear to want him. He's versatile. He should be affordable. And he should fit in fairly well into the high-pressing system.
Yeah, that makes sense. Bearing in mind, I don't know if they'll be able to hang on to Jack Harrison for another season. Would be a decent potential option there. And also versatility in terms of positions. Yeah, I could see that panning out quite well. I went for another potentially rogue one. Went with Ethan Ampadu. It's not been great at Sheffield United, but maybe in more of a ball-playing system at Leeds, he could thrive. Still a high potential player, very young. And I don't think Leeds have the best options at centre-back right now. Ben White wasn't ever fully replaced when Brighton decided to keep hold of him. So I think that could be worth a punt. Might be good for all parties.
Yeah, I like Ampadu. His reputation is going to be a little bit tarnished by the whole Sheffield United thing, but I think he still played well whenever I've seen him. So makes sense. For selling, I've gone with Tyler Roberts. He's a regular starter, but I'm not sure if he's quite of a level that Leeds needs to carry on pushing up the table. He's played, I think, 23 times this season in the league. He hasn't scored. And yeah, I think they could do better than him.
Yeah, I actually toyed with Tyler Roberts myself, so I'm not going to argue with that too much. But I do think his output numbers possibly paint a harsh story. Like, when I've watched him, he has looked pretty good. I definitely recall him hitting the woodwork at least once, and he makes chances, fits in well with the system. But yeah, you're right. There's probably room to upgrade there, so I don't hate the pick at all. I went with Egerjan Alioski in the end. This one hurts me a bit. I went on holiday to North Macedonia a couple of years ago, got the shirt, so I don't like slandering their national team players too much, but I haven't been hugely impressed, I have to be honest. He doesn't get his head up anywhere near enough to play in his kind of natural advanced position for Leeds, and I haven't been hugely convinced by him as a makeshift fullback either. So yeah, one of them where he's not been terrible, but like you said with Roberts, there's probably space to upgrade there.
Yeah, I think both of them are good squad options who know how to play the system. Bielsa obviously likes them both because he plays them regularly, but I agree with what you said about Alioski. I don't think he's a good enough left back or good enough left winger to command either spot moving forward.
Yeah, exactly. And now moving forward to Leicester. I quite like my picks here, but well, certainly my buy pick anyway, but I'll let you go first.
Okay. Oh, for God's sake. Forgot I'd done this. I've put sell no one again.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay, well, to be fair, I went quite boring with the Leicester sell pick as well. I said Danny Ward. I still cannot believe Liverpool managed to get 12 million for this guy. He actually did sign a new deal this year, so clearly he must have shown something in training, or I don't know. But to my mind, he just isn't a Premier League goalkeeper, certainly not for a top four contender. I think even his backup, there's better options. So, yeah, I mean, I might as well have said no one. But yeah it's...
Given that fee, no one's going to buy him off them. Yeah, I've gone with no one because they have a really strong squad. There's little deadwood and they're probably going to qualify for the Champions League. So they need a big squad.
Yeah, I mean, if no one's allowed, this is the time to use it. I don't blame you at all. But let's swiftly move on to more interesting picks, because I've said they should buy Ivan Toney from Brentford. It's a tricky one because Leicester have such a complete team. Like you were saying before, I really like it. Great squad. Hard to know where they improve. But they do need to start thinking about Vardy's succession planning. Iheanacho has come good this year, but mostly in a two up top. So to have him and Toney to call on would be immense, whether that's as a two themselves or whether it's slowly phasing one of them out or however you like. But it gives options apart from Vardy, which is important. I would imagine this is partly dependent on Brentford not going up through the playoffs. If they go up, the fee's going to be prohibitive. But if they can get him relatively reasonably, I think it could be a great punt.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. I've just picked a different striker for the succession planning. I've gone with Tammy Abraham. I think Leicester, probably one of the teams that could afford the 40 million. Maybe they'll negotiate down a little bit. But he could be a long-term option with Vardy getting on a bit. He's going to be 35 next season, I think, or 36. Iheanacho's doing well. And yeah, having three good strikers whilst also in the Champions League probably would be very useful.
Yeah, don't mind that at all. Could see him doing well there. Possibly Ivan Toney is a little bit more of a kind of profile fit for Vardy, but I mean, you're not going to be able to replace Vardy like for like anyway. So yeah, I don't mind either of those picks. Could both be good ideas. And clearly we're both thinking along the same lines positionally. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they actually go and do this summer, particularly as you say, if they do have that Champions League draw. Someone who probably won't have that Champions League draw is sadly Liverpool. Who are you suggesting they should bring in, bearing in mind their situation?
I've gone with Danielle Marlin. I can't claim to have seen a lot of him, but I think this is the sort of signing that Liverpool could do with. Liverpool definitely need more attacking options. He would be one that won't command a starting spot immediately. He's only 22. He's got a great record in the Eredivisie. I know that doesn't always mean a lot. It's a bit hit and miss signing strikers from that division, but Liverpool have had success before Suarez. Yeah, he could be a bench option to begin with, but like Jota, he could play his way into the team. Looks like a good signing to me.
Yeah, and he was really highly thought of when he was at Arsenal as well. They wanted to hang on to him and weren't able to do so. So yeah, he has been linked. I think it would be a good punt, and like you say, probably not massively high risk. And yeah, striker's a bit of an issue at the moment. There's always the question, how will he fit into the system? I don't know enough to know whether he could really fulfil that role as kind of pressing forward. But equally, maybe Liverpool do need to look for more of an out-and-out goal scorer as well. So yeah, I'd be happy if he brought him in, but I have gone a little bit more ambitious. I don't think it's realistic. It's possible, but I don't think it will happen. I've said Jadon Sancho. Liverpool rarely stump up any kind of cash without making a big sale first, so maybe it's one of them where if Mane were to go, it's more plausible. But yeah, he would fix a lot of problems right now. Enables a possible switch to a 4-2-3-1, which a lot of Liverpool fans think Klopp's been trying to do for ages and keeps on getting thwarted by various injuries and other circumstances. It also makes it easier to drop Mane if he's out of form. It seems ready-made for Klopp too, especially having been at Dortmund. That's almost a kind of proving school for a Klopp system. Apparently, we've been tracking him since the City youth days as well. So many factors would make it a good fit. I don't think it'll happen, but if it did, it would be immense. I think Liverpool should be really looking to do that if they want to kick on.
Yeah, I think if he is available and Liverpool have the funds for it, then he definitely makes a lot of sense. He's obviously still very young as well. I thought United were going to get him last summer. I think they missed a trick by not stumping up for money asked for. I think he would be exactly the sort of player that Liverpool could do with. I thought you were going to say Mbappe for a second.
I drew the line at Mbappe. I mean, that's probably just the tier above where it's just completely impossible. Maybe if we got Champions League, I might have stretched out and said, yeah, let's go for Mbappe. I mean, we might still nick Champions League, but it's unlikely. But yeah, I think Sancho would take a year outside of Champions League. I don't think Mbappe would need to take that step down. So yeah, I've gone on the implausible rather than impossible side. But I would love Mbappe. So if you're listening, come to Liverpool. But yeah, no, never mind. Sell, I've gone with Divock Origi. Thanks for the memories and all that. But he just looks completely ineffectual whenever he plays now. I'm not even convinced he was ever that great in the first place. He just had a very helpful knack of being in the right place at the right time. And he keeps a cool head. So he never looked like the pressure was going to get to him. But yeah, when he comes off the bench now, I don't hold out any hope. And that's pretty damning. So I also think he's one of them where we could probably move him on for a decent fee. I've heard Wolves might be interested. I think there's a few clubs who would fancy taking a punt on him. He's still not old. So yeah, I think it probably makes sense.
Yeah, I've got nothing to add. I've picked him as well.
Okay.
So yeah.
Yeah, I think it's the most obvious sale in the squad at the moment. So not surprised we've both gone for him. Another interesting club coming up, Manchester City. Who are you bringing in for them?
I've gone with Rafinha, who I've talked up a lot on this podcast, and I think he would be a great addition to the squad. I don't think Man City are going to go for that blockbuster striker that's going to come into the team. I don't think they need to. I think over the course of a season, they've proven that they don't need to play with a striker, basically. They can get away with the system that they're using, and I think they can carry on and not break the bank for someone. So I've not gone for a striker. I've gone for someone who I think could play in that fluid sort of system that Man City have going up front. And Rafinha shouldn't be too expensive. I suppose he's had a very good first season in the Premier League, so he won't be as cheap as he would have been last year. But I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it would be a punt because, you know, doing well for Leeds doesn't necessarily translate to slotting into a, you know, arguably the best team in the world at the moment. You're probably slightly more on the hype train than I am, but I still like him a lot. In fact, I've included him for a different team further down this list. Slightly lower level than City, but yeah, it could happen and he could do very well there. I've gone down the more orthodox route and said they should sign a striker. This is where Kylian Mbappe does feature. This one would kill me, but he's got a year left on the contract. If City chuck enough money, there's surely a genuine chance of getting him. And I don't know how many times that's going to be the case throughout the course of his career. To be fair, he's not technically an out-and-out striker, but to say he could do a job there would be a bit of an understatement. And then that's the frontline sorted for the best part of a decade. To be honest, I think any of the big hitters financially would be stupid not to test PSG's resolve at this point. They will be sweating on that contract. And, you know, now's the time to try and get a generational talent. Yeah, I mean, City, like you say, they have proven they can play without that kind of orthodox forward. But equally, I do think they'll be looking at Gundogan as the top scorer with, 12, 13 goals and thinking, can we keep this up long term? Personally, I still think they'd rather have a genuinely elite marksman in there. And obviously, Mbappe fits that bill to a T.
Yeah, I would hate to see this one happen. It would probably be the Premier League just wrapped up for the next 5 or so years. Yeah, I really don't want that to go ahead. If they can get Mbappe, obviously they have to try it.
It's just the thought of that, it's just stunned us both into silence.
Yeah, I just hope it doesn't happen, to be honest.
Yeah, but that's the proof that it would be such a good signing, like the fact that it sort of struck this fear into both of us.
Yeah, exactly.
Sell, I wouldn't be surprised if we both have the same pick here. I've gone with Benjamin Mendy. He's rarely fit. He's unreliable defensively when he does play. And Zinchenko has come on leaps and bounds, really made their position his own. Don't have too much else to say there.
Yeah, I've got the same. They're not going to get anywhere near the £50 million that they paid for him, but they could still get a decent fee. He's by no means a bad left back, but I don't think he's the sort of player that Man City need. They could go into the market and get someone else at left back to compete with Zinchenko, or even just persist with Cancelo, who can play a left back as well.
Yeah, exactly. Not surprised that we've gone with the same one there. It's such a good squad. That's the only obvious, potentially valuable deadwood. So we'll move across the City, Manchester United. Who are you selling there? I'll let you go sell.
Right, so I've got three names down and clearly I haven't picked one yet. So I'll quickly rattle them off and you can decide which one we go into depth about. I've written down Martial, De Gea and Pogba, all for very different reasons.
Okay, well, leave me De Gea because that's my pick, but go into depth on either of the other two.
Okay, I'll mention a little bit about both, I guess. With Pogba, there's only a year left on his contract at the end of the season, so either they tie him down on a longer-term contract or they need to cash in because they can't lose him on a free a second time. That would be so much money wasted. So that one is purely financial. They need to sort that situation out. Martial, I don't think he's ever going to become the striker that United want. He's had too many patches of form where he looks like he might be coming good and then he doesn't. There's been question marks over his attitude, and I think he's definitely a very sellable asset, so I'd be looking to offload him.
Yeah, I disregard it, Martial, to be honest. I might have had him in the mix if I thought of him, because I also think he could be a good pickup for a lot of other clubs. But yeah, you're right. At the moment, the consistency is not there to be a realistic option for United. So yeah, I don't mind that pick at all. And yeah, it's hard to argue with Pogba just from your practical perspective. Personally, I think they'd still be better off trying to tie him down rather than cash in. I still rate him very highly. But yeah, they need to do something either way. You're not wrong. So then just to elaborate on the David De Gea pick, which I've also gone with, it's a tough one to argue after the Europa League last night where he played an absolute blinder. But yeah, he was arguably the best in the world in his time, but his drop-off for the most part has been quite severe. And equally, he's definitely still too good to stick around as number two to Henderson for too long. So yeah, sell him, probably best for both parties. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Yeah, the crux of my argument with him is if he's going to be second choice, well, he shouldn't be, basically. His contract is something ridiculous, like 350k a week. You can't have that sat on the bench. So sell him, take the loss on the wages if you have to, but just definitely don't have him a second choice.
Yeah, 100%. And in terms of buying for Manchester United, I really don't know if this one's actually possible or not. It could be that I've overestimated their pulling power, but I've gone with Marquinhos. The board will want to splash out this summer. Obviously, it shouldn't be the case that that's the way to appease the fans, but realistically, it wouldn't hurt, would it? A big name like that. And I do think centre-back is still a little bit of a problem area. I don't mind their centre-backs. Maguire's fine, if a little bit slow. Lindelof is okay. He's maybe got an error in him, but he's not as bad as some people say. Similarly, Bailly, really. I don't mind any of them, but none of them are elite. And I feel like Marquinhos would really kick on that defence and make them into more of a title-challenging outfit.
Yeah, centre-back's definitely a bit of a problem position for United. Bailly's injury record isn't good. Phil Jones still exists.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's still got 3 years left on his contract. I was having a look. anyway... Yeah, Maguire and Lindelof are a decent enough centre-back pairing, but if you can get Marquinhos, go for it. Not sure if PSG will sell, but I agree with you with the statement signing, and that's why I've picked my own. This one sort of follows off from selling Martial. I think Harry Kane would be a good target for them. He's made noises, or there's been noises from his camp about him wanting to leave if they don't get Champions League. That looks very unlikely. United are obviously going to be in the Champions League. They've got a far better chance of winning a trophy within the next 5 years compared to Tottenham. So there shouldn't be too many question marks whether Kane would go. I think it makes sense for everyone involved. It's just the fee is going to be very high for a 28-year-old. But I can see United matching that.
Yeah, it's one of the few signings which they could make, which would make me genuinely think, okay, you could push for the league. I was talking about this with some people earlier, actually, and someone did mention this kind of newer version of Kane dropping deeper. Might he almost kind of disrupt that almost pocket of space where Fernandes and, to a lesser extent, Pogba are operating? Could you do with more of a sort of someone who's closer to old school Kane, who will stay at the nine, someone who plays almost like Cavani does now, really, but obviously with a better age profile, maybe that would suit the system better. But yeah, equally, I think Kane could probably adapt. We've seen him change his play before. And yeah, he's obviously world class. So I don't think Spurs will sell, so I think it's all a moot point. I think United could come with almost any offer, and Daniel Levy would say no. So I don't think we'll see it. But yeah, it would be a strong signing, and striker is still the area where there's question marks. So
yeah,
don't mind that.
I think he is definitely intelligent enough to adapt. United has had history with doing something similar before when they signed an aging Van Persie just to win the league, basically. A lot cheaper back then. I think it was 20 mil. Kane's going to cost north of 100. So maybe different circumstances. We'll see if Daniel Levy will even sell.
Yeah, I mean, it's the contract thing as much as anything. Kane tying him down to what? I think it was a six-year deal. It might have been five, but certainly at an inadvisable time in his career. So, yeah, I mean, Spurs hold all the cards. And you don't want to be the owner who sells Harry Kane when Harry Kane is one of your two vaguely good players at the moment. Like, it's not going to happen. Obviously, that's too harsh. There are more than two good players, but certainly Kane and Son have been carrying them this season. Yeah, so I think that could be a bit of a pipe dream, but it's been talked about. I don't blame you for bringing it up at all, and it's certainly one to keep an eye on. But that's enough talking about Harry Kane. Let's move on to Newcastle. I said they should buy Joe Willock, so again, going down the make a loan permanent route. Is that a massive impact? It would be huge if they could get him off Arsenal again, whether that's a second loan or a permanent deal. I think it just makes sense.
I think that's the fifth one we've had in common. Yeah, I think it's just too obvious. Whenever a loan move goes really well and the club loaning the player isn't interested in keeping them, it just makes sense for everyone involved. So yeah, definitely go for Willock.
It's not going too badly. I mean, obviously there's a big pool of potential players out there, but yeah, when there's loan players like that, it's pretty obvious pick. So I think we could have agreed on more, so I'll take it. But I doubt we'll agree on sell. Who have you gone with here?
I've gone with, this is not the most interesting ones, Fabian Schär. He's not a starter and he's got 1 year left in his contract. There's definitely some value to be made off him, so no need to keep him around.
Has he not had injury problems? I was looking at the defence and I thought he hadn't played because of injury, but I could be wrong.
I think he's had injury problems, but he also lost his place in the team and recently he came off the bench to get sent off. So I think that might be the nail in the coffin for him. Sell him with a year left.
That's fair enough. I always quite liked Fabian Schär, and Newcastle don't have a amazing back line. So I mean, my instinct would be that there's no harm in keeping him around. But yeah, you're probably right. It's possibly the end of the road for him at Newcastle. And like you say, with a year left, maybe cash in while it's still possible. To be honest, I think the biggest problem is Steve Bruce, but they can't exactly sell him. So
I almost wrote him down, but then I thought, I can't do this. I'm bending the rules.
Yeah, well, all right, Mr. Sell Nobody. But so I've stuck to the rules and I've said Jonjo Shelvey. I don't think he's Premier League level for anyone with genuine ambitions. He has some lovely passes in the locker, but that's about it. And I think you need to offer more than that to be a proper Premier League standard centre midfielder. And also he's a walking red card. So I think they can upgrade.
Yeah, I have to agree with most of that. But genuine ambition isn't something that Newcastle really have right now, so I don't expect Shelvey to be going anywhere right now.
No, that's true. I don't necessarily expect that to happen, but I mean, you have to sort of assume a basic level of ambition for this whole format to even survive. But yeah, fair enough. Sheffield United.
Okay, for Sheffield United, I would sell John Lundstrom. He's not had the best of seasons, definitely got a lot of value. I think he's had a bit of a falling out with the club. I can see another Premier League club going for him, and he wasn't really used in the Championship for the season that they came up anyway, so I don't think he would be too sorely missed.
Yeah, I was going to mention when you said him actually that surprisingly he wasn't really very influential when they were in the Championship. So yeah, I think that's a sensible pick. But equally, he's no harm in keeping him around. He still looked decent when he has played. I went with Billy Sharp. This might be controversial. And to be honest, he could probably still do a decent job in the Championship as well. But they just have far too many strikers and they've sunk too much into Rhian Brewster to give up on him. So they need to get rid of some of the older names and try to properly bed the youth. It's the only sensible way forward.
Yeah, it makes sense. He's a bit of a club legend, but Sheffield United have just been rotating four or five strikers all season. No one's getting a consistent run, and it's not helping anyone.
Exactly.
Yeah, Brewster more than anyone in the Championship needs to get a long run of form so that they can get the value that they paid for him.
Yeah, you've probably described that better than I did, but that's exactly my thinking on that. There's just too many strikers all in rotation, and if you're going to sell one, look towards the older end of the spectrum and give Brewster a proper run of games. I'm not saying he necessarily will meet his potential, but we saw in the Championship with Swansea that he can definitely perform at that level, and he's still very young, could still easily hit those heights. So, yeah, I think we're both pretty much agreed there. So, yeah, moving on to buy for Sheffield United, I've gone with Josh Knight from Wickham. He's been on loan there from Leicester this season. This would probably be another loan move, but he is 23 now, so, you know, Leicester might be on the verge of thinking about cashing in. But, yeah, either way, he might be available. And he was players and fans player of the season for Wickham. I know Wickham are going down, but that doesn't mean there can't be good individual performances in there, and he was certainly one of them this season. That also means he's played in a back three for some of the season, so a good fit into Sheffield United's current system. I think it could be a shrewd acquisition.
Yeah, I won't comment too much on him because, well, I don't know who he is. I've thought along similar lines with acquiring someone who's going down. Maybe not the best fit in terms of club, given we've just mentioned how many strikers they have. But I think Dwight Gayle would be a good addition for any club going to the Championship. He's not really Premier League quality, but I think he would do a very good job in the Championship, as he has done before. And he shouldn't cost too much, because I doubt Newcastle are too bothered about keeping him.
Yeah, I think that's the first of your picks I really don't like, just because purely for what we were saying about the striker overload before and giving Brewster the game time he needs. Because if you do have someone like Dwight Gayle, it is tempting just to play him, obviously, because like you say, he probably would do quite well in the Championship. But I mean, they paid £25 million. They have to go big or nothing on Brewster right now. And I feel like Dwight Gayle would just curtail that too much for me.
Then again, they do play with two strikers. So
they do, but then equally there's so many others kicking around. Yeah, I mean, there's McGoldrick, Ollie Burke has played there. I'm sure I'm missing one as well. But yeah, he would do a job. And if they did commit to a Dwight Gayle, Rhian Brewster, two-man up top system, it could do well. So yeah, I mean, you've partially sold me on it, I guess, but I think there's better options. And yeah, I do think the defence is possibly a better area to focus on.
Another counterpoint against me, they've got McBurney, who's done well in the Championship before with Swansea.
Yes, I knew I was missing one. Exactly.
So, yeah. McBurney, yeah. Maybe they've got new strikers and Gayle would be a better option for a different club.
Yeah. And McBurney's still vaguely on the young side, I think, certainly compared to someone like Billy Sharp. Okay, so moving on to Southampton. Very sad pick for me at buy. Obviously, I hope this doesn't happen whatsoever, but I said they should buy Joel Matip. I should make it so clear that I'm not endorsing this in any way. Liverpool should not sell him under any circumstances. But sadly, I could see him leaving this summer. Not long left on the contract now. I think it'll be a year in the summer. And Southampton could potentially utilise their good relationship with Liverpool to get him in. It'd be an absolutely massive upgrade on Bednarek. And he's used to playing the style, you know, Hasenhüttl, known as the Alpine Klopp and everything. So he should slot pretty comfortably in, especially with Liverpool probably going to make Kabak permanent. They're heavily, heavily linked with Konate from Red Bull Leipzig. So there's only so many centre-backs you can have at the club. Van Dijk and Gomez coming back off the long-term injuries. There's just so many spaces. Personally, I think Matip is at least third in that list, possibly second in terms of when everyone's fit and available. But in terms of age profile and in terms of injury availability, I do think Liverpool might very sadly look at moving him on. And if so, Southampton should be all over it.
Yeah, I can't argue with that in terms of Southampton. That would be a massive coup for them, I think. Liverpool, yeah, I don't think they should sell him, but I can see the points you made there. I've gone with the other end of the field. I've gone with Ivan Toney. Why will make sense a little bit more when I tell you who I'm selling. But like you mentioned before, especially if Brentford don't go up, his price shouldn't be too restrictive. Southampton would be a big step up. Even if Brentford do get promotion, Southampton might still be able to tempt him away, but I think it becomes a lot more unlikely.
Yeah, I'll let you go straight in onto who you're selling, just because I'm intrigued now.
Okay, I would sell Danny Ings.
Oh.
Hear me out. He's got one more year left on his contract at the end of the season. There's rumours that he's not going to sign an extension. You can't afford to leave him, to let him go for free. They would get a decent price for him. He's not that young, and he is injury prone. So I think now is the time. They just need to cash in, get 35, 40 million for him maybe, and reinvest that rather than risk losing him on a free next year.
Wow, who knew the Southampton pick section would be so emotionally traumatic for me? First I've had to contemplate getting rid of Joel Matip from Liverpool, and now I have to think about Danny Ings moving on. I absolutely love Danny Ings. He's by far and away Southampton's best player, so that's why it's a very controversial pick from you. I do see the logic, and they could probably get a disproportionate sum compared to the contract situation and also the age profile. But that's such a spreadsheet pick. Yeah, I mean, in terms of the actual on the field, let's just try and make as good a side as possible. You can't sell Danny Ings. No, I don't like it.
There's no room for emotion when there's that much money at stake and it's Southampton. You'll like that. Ings does show up in my list in a bit, so you'll like that.
Okay. Yeah, like I say, I do understand it, but not for me. I feel like this is a very rare situation where it's advisable to move on a player who's so head and shoulders above the rest of your team. And even in this lesser season, he's still hit very impressive goal and assist numbers. I think he's on 9 goals, 4 assists, which, given the game time he's had, perfectly good. And also the same number of goal contributions as Calvert-Lewin, by the way. Just throwing that out there. Gareth Southgate, what are you doing? 26-man England squad now. If he's not on the plane, I'm going to be fuming. But anyway, it's not the Danny Ings podcast, sadly. So we will move on. Spurs. I feel like maybe this is where you're going to say Danny Ings should end up, but we'll find out. I've said Spurs should bring in Yves Bissouma. You mentioned him earlier. Him and Ndombele with freedom to push on in front of Højbjerg. It could be good fun. I'd quite like to see it. The only risk there is perhaps a lack of goals in that midfield. So maybe there's better options to kind of ease the reliance on Kane and Son. But I do think he deserves a move to a big club. So I pick Spurs. Maybe there's better options, but I thought it would be a decent fit.
Yeah, I think Bissouma to sort of top 8 club definitely makes sense. Tottenham could do a lot worse than him. He would be a very good option. Yeah, I agree with you in terms of the goals. Maybe that would be a bit of an issue coming from midfield. Tottenham do have a dependency problem where their goals are coming from two players, and that's not going to help. But I don't hate the suggestion. Yeah, you're right. I've picked Danny Ings here for all the reasons I said Southampton should sell, basically. Tottenham would be able to get him at a reasonable price. I think he is going to come expensive, but he's proven in the Premier League. I think he could potentially be a great backup for Kane. His injury record could be a concern, and if Kane goes, Ings would do fine for a couple of seasons as Tottenham's main striker.
Yeah, I mean, much as I was waxing lyrical about him, he is going to be a risk for any big club just because of the injuries. We saw it at Liverpool, where I maintain he would have been a pretty perfect style fit if he could have just stayed fit for, you know, more than a few games at a time. So there is always that risk factor, but yeah, I think if he does leave Southampton, there's a lot of big clubs who will want to be on the lookout. And yeah, if he stayed fit, he would do very well for Spurs. The question is, would he want to go to just play second fiddle to Harry Kane? Because, I mean, you're not going to bench Harry Kane, are you? And they don't generally play two up top. Of course, they'll have a new manager coming in, so that's not necessarily a given. But yeah, it wouldn't be ideal for the player if he was going to be relegated to bench option, because he's better than that. But yeah, it's not a terrible pick.
This one definitely suits Tottenham more than the player in their sort of endless pursuit for a Kane backup. It might just end up that they never find a backup for Kane. Kane will end up leaving.
Yeah, it's one of them where, you know, when Kane is such a first name on the team sheet pick, it's going to be hard to get an elite striker to sit on the bench. I mean, it's like the second goalkeeper conundrum in a way. So, yeah, it may be that that's a problem with no solution. But maybe Danny Ings is one of the solutions. Who knows? I said Tottenham should sell Steven Bergwijn. There's a tongue twister for you. Yeah, it just hasn't really worked out, has it? He shows flashes of promise, but Spurs already have a hot and cold bench option winger in Lucas Moura. So, you know, it's a bit of a luxury to have two of them. So cash in on Bergwijn, move on. I think it makes sense.
Yeah, I think Tottenham have got quite a lot of sort of sellable assets who aren't quite first team, but would still get a decent fee. Bergwijn would be one of them. I would be reluctant to give up on him so quickly. He's still quite young and he hasn't been there long. I've gone with someone who has been there a lot longer, Eric Lamella. He's definitely contributed whilst he's been at Tottenham, but his injury record is definitely a massive worry. His wages will be very high as well. And I imagine his contract's running out pretty soon. So sell him whilst you can, really. Get a decent fee for him. Also considered Sissoko, similar sort of reasons. But yeah, I think they've got a few squad options who are a bit surplus.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense, actually. I could see Lamella being one who's moved on. He doesn't get the output you'd want, really, and he's not someone you can rely on. I suppose with Bale leaving, both of our shouts might get thrown into a bit more question because there's suddenly one less wing option in the mix. But yeah, probably that one might have run its course. So I agree with you there. West Brom, some potentially interesting ones here. I've said they should sell. Okay, this is the first one I've technically cheated because it's not really selling, it's releasing. It's Branislav Ivanovic. Yeah, I guess they were bringing him in with an eye on sort of experience. And I don't hate that. You'll see from my buy pick that there's nothing wrong with targeting experience sometimes. But even with that in mind, 36 years old from Russia is a bit of a stretch. And yeah, it just hasn't worked out at all. So get rid.
Yeah, totally agree. I was very surprised when Ivanovic rocked up at West Brom. He was a great player for Chelsea, but having seen him in his final season, he lost all his pace. He turned like a truck and he was just a massive liability. He was at right back, but sort of 3 years on or something, having played in Russia, I didn't think he was going to be any better at centre back for West Brom. That's proved the case. I'm sure his wages aren't cheap either, so definitely don't renew that contract. I don't know if my one's contract is running out at the end of the season or not. If it is, let it. Charlie Austin, yeah, he's got to go, basically. In the Championship, he didn't do very well the year before. He's a year older. Hal Robson-Kanu is another one who shouldn't get a renewal if his contract is ending. Neither of them are good enough, really, for the Championship. Not a team who's pushing for the Premier League anyway. And they're both quite old, so yeah, both of them.
Ooh, I mean, they have both bagged in the Championship before, to be fair. Maybe not hugely recently, but they have both proved themselves as good Championship players. I mean, yeah, it's one of them, but you're probably right. If they are running out of contract, maybe it's not worth renewing. But if they have a couple of years to go, I wouldn't mind giving both of them a bit of a run in the Championship, see how it gets on. But nonetheless, I don't hate your picks there. They do make sense. They're probably past their best and haven't been involved at all, really, this season. In terms of buying, I've gone with James Tomkins. Might be a bit of a strange one, but looking at goals for and goals against, the attack has actually been okay for West Brom this season. It is a defence which hasn't been at all up to scratch. So a bit of experience wouldn't hurt them when it comes to trying to regroup and get back up from the Championship. Had a quick look at the promoted teams this season in Norwich and Watford, who have been confirmed. And Norwich have had Grant Hanley, Watford have had Craig Cathcart. I do feel like Tomkins is maybe a kind of similar profile, just to have that steady head, which is a sort of proven formula for building a strong spine for promotion.
Yeah, I don't hate it. You often see these sort of bottom half ageing centre-backs do quite well in the latter years of their career in the Championship. So I think it makes sense. Crystal Palace don't exactly need him, especially when they're going for a young centre-back like we mentioned. Yeah, makes sense. I've gone with a striker. It's another loan that I think they should make permanent. Not sure if I'm pronouncing this right, Diagne. He scored 3 goals in the Premier League so far. He's looked pretty decent to me, and I think he would do a very good job in the Championship.
Yeah, to be honest, I didn't even know that was a loan. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I might have picked him if I clocked that, because I do rate him, and certainly the Championship could be his chance to really, really shine. So yeah, no complaints from me on that one. But you know, it's West Brom; it's not the most interesting. So let's power on through. Nearly there now. West Ham is the penultimate team. Who are you bringing in at West Ham?
Maybe I've picked too many of these. It's another loan move that they have to make permanent. I think Jesse Lingard is just the most obvious pick on the list, probably. There's been talk that United should keep him, but I think they know that they shouldn't. The loan move has been perfect for all parties. They've managed to get so much more value out of Lingard after giving him a contract extension with nothing in mind but selling him. He's been so valuable to West Ham. He won't come cheap. It might be like 30 million for a 28-year-old, but given the 6 months that he's had with West Ham, it just makes sense.
Yeah, that would obviously make a whole lot of sense. Surprisingly, I've actually not gone for that one. Partly with what you were saying in terms of when you're spending that much on someone that old, and also purely off the back of what is essentially a hot streak, that does come with a lot of risks. But equally, if they made that signing permanent, I would obviously say, yeah, fair play. Makes a lot of sense in many ways. I've gone what I would say is a bit more ambitious. I don't know if this would be possible. You probably think I've lost my mind based on how highly you rate him. But I think they should really push and try and get Rafinha off Leeds. Leeds fans won't like it, of course. But I do think West Ham have more spending and pulling power than they do at this moment in time. Particularly if they do sneak into the Champions League. It looks a long shot, but either way, they'll have Europa League to offer, most likely. I don't need to tell you, he'd be a great creative option from wide. Benrahma hasn't really worked out in that regard. Bowen is a little bit streaky. I do quite like Bowen, but would still be an upgrade. And Fornals, also streaky, and really isn't a natural wide option at all. So, yeah, I think he could really help them kick on a level and try and cement their current status as European challengers.
Yeah, well, despite thinking that Man City should go for him, I don't think that it's completely out of the question that West Ham could get him, especially if they get Champions League, although that does look unlikely. They are going to be in Europe and Leeds aren't, so that helps. They're going to have enough money to spend, probably enough to get him. Yeah, Leeds are going to be very reluctant to sell him. I think that's the biggest stumbling block. But in terms of someone that would improve West Ham, then yeah, Rafinha is a great target for them.
Yeah, like I say, it's probably the biggest long shot on the list, or certainly up there with the Sancho and Mbappe shouts, but it would be fairly transformative. So yeah, we'll see how ambitious they are in the summer, I suppose. Sell, I've gone quite boring, so I'll just quickly go through this. Felipe Anderson is currently on loan at Porto, in case you're wondering, which by all accounts hasn't gone well. He's played about 4 games in the league. Apparently the manager never even really wanted him in the first place. It's been a bit of a disaster. Even when he was at West Ham, he's far too much of a moments player, and even they've been hard to come by in the last season and a half, and he's barely played in Portugal. So yeah, cash in while there's still any kind of value.
Yeah, he was very expensive, and things haven't really worked out beyond sort of half a season at West Ham. I'm pretty sure that you could sell him off to somewhere like Turkey and get reasonable money for him. They would pay his wages.
Yeah, I heard Fiorentina were already sort of sounding out for a deal as well.
Yeah, obviously that makes sense as well, because he was very good in Serie A. He's still not that old either, I don't think. So, yeah, it makes sense to sell him. I've gone for similar sort of profile of player, another winger. It hasn't really worked out. Yarmolenko. He's been injured a lot, but he is getting on now. He's still got some resale value. Like with Anderson, I think a Turkish club could be a good fit for Yarmolenko. Yeah, West Ham don't need him, and they can make money off him.
Yeah, very similar pick that. Yeah, Turkey makes sense. I could see him rocking up in the MLS as well. But yeah, I agree with that. I could just as easily have picked him. It basically all of the same arguments apply, particularly if they do manage to sign someone like a Rafinha, then those players are going to be even more unnecessary. And finally, Wolves. Who are you bringing in at Wolves?
Okay, end with a bang at Wolves. Not so much my buyer, but the person I'm selling. So I would buy Shaqiri because I don't think he's needed at Liverpool. I think you could get him on a decent price. He's 29. He's shown that he can win games on his own before. Yes, he's a bit inconsistent, but he had very good spells at Stoke. And I think he would be very useful for Wolves.
Yeah, I think he's actually been linked with Wolves as well. I don't know if you saw those links before making the pick, but I have seen that sort of floating around. For what it's worth, I do think he's been a little bit hard done by at Liverpool, certainly this season, when we haven't been at the pace with the usual suspects. I think he should have been afforded more game time. I really like him as a player, and to be honest, he's been good when he's played for Liverpool. So I think surplus to requirements. I mean, it's probably true just because he doesn't ever get played, but I think it's harsh.
He's been played a lot in the midfield three as well, which I found unusual. I don't know if Klopp was trying to sort of make a new position for him where he's not going to break into the front line, but I found that a bit odd.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, he's not a Klopp winger in any way, which I suppose is the problem. But yeah, he's not going to be good enough for Klopp to, like you say, really fully forge a permanent new place in the team for him. And yeah, so I also agree that he would do well from a permanent spot, more regular starter at Wolves. So yeah, I like that. I mean, I suggested a similar move from earlier, didn't I, with Burnley? So no complaints for me. I have gone with André Silva. Did I just Google Portuguese players and work from there? Maybe. But he has had a great season at Frankfurt. He's got European pedigree. And whether it's replacing or complementing Jimenez, either way, I think he could do well. I suppose the only concern would be potentially stepping on the toes of Fabio Silva coming through. But he's not at the level to be relied upon regularly just yet. He's not had a great season, let's be honest. And particularly with Willian Jose only being a loan as well, another strong striker option would be good. So yeah, if they can pull that one off, I think they'd be doing well.
Yeah, I think this is a great shout. For Portuguese links definitely do help when it comes to Wolves, but Jimenez has been out for a long time. We don't know what's going to happen with him, and he's 30 anyway. I agree, Fabio Silva's not up to it just yet, so I don't think he would be stepping on his toes because he shouldn't be first choice for Wolves. And Silva's numbers have been incredible this season, right up there with the very best in Europe. I think Wolves would be, it wouldn't be too much of a step down. They could definitely be pushing for Europe next season. So I think it makes sense for everyone.
Yeah, I'll let you go for your bombshell sell pick, but I'm a little bit worried because I also have quite a controversial one. I feel like we've probably done the same thing, but go on.
I'd be surprised, but you never know. Okay, I think you like this player quite a lot, so I think it's time to sell Adama Traore. Yeah, he might never reach that potential that it looked like he was going to reach last season. Sell whilst that's still a question, whilst other clubs might have a punt and think, yeah, he can reach the very top or at least close to it, and reinvest elsewhere. I just think he's too inconsistent. He lacks that end product. That's something that's been thrown at him throughout his career. Yes, he has improved a lot, but it's still a big issue, and I think they could get quite a lot of money for him.
Yeah, you're right. I do really like him, but equally, I have picked him as the sell. I've done the same thing. I thought I was saving a big bombshell until last, but clearly not that controversial after all. Slightly different reasons. I mean, I do somewhat agree with everything you've said, but I think the main thing for me is that it's just clear Espirito Santo doesn't fully trust him. I mean, he's had stints on the bench. He's had stints at right wing back. And that's not something you do if you want to fully invest and build around him. And you're right, he has gone off the boil for the last season and a half, really. So like you say, with that potential still inflating the price tag now might be the last window where a club might take a punt for, you know, a really sizable fee. So yeah, particularly with the likes of Pedence and Neto at the club, I think maybe you think now's the time to cash in. I don't love it because he could still be world class, but for the reasons both of us have mentioned, it could be a sensible move.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I love watching Adama Traore. He's the sort of exciting player that gets you on the edge of your seat. But from a sensible sort of financial point of view for Wolves, it makes most sense to cash in now whilst it's starting to look like he may never hit the heights that they expect of him.
Yep. And on that sobering note, we reach the end of our list. Be interested to hear any listeners' thoughts on that. It's obviously controversial. There's so many players to choose from, both in the buying and selling columns. But yeah, I think we've presented some interesting picks there. I think all of this business would significantly improve the clubs we've gone through. It'd be interesting to see how many actually come to fruition, if any. Fingers crossed on the Jadon Sancho one. But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps us up for May. So thanks very much for listening. Thank you, Fabio, for joining me as ever.
No problem.
And we'll be back next month with another episode of the Clutch Football Podcast. Thanks for listening.